Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus. It's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Hey, I'm Mike. He's Joel. Welcome to the Jiffy Pop of podcasts, as much fun for us to make as it is for you to eat. How are you doing, Joel? Are you there?
Could you hear that? You
made. I heard some whistling.
I was doing the popcorn song.
Oh, nice try.
Maybe you can't hear it because you don't have headphones on. You're one of those weirdos who just listens to the speakers and.
I know. I do it at work. I do it sometimes on a walk. I don't do it here on the podcast, so yeah. I might have missed some of it.
Yeah, as long as you didn't say the Jiffy Lube. It's the Jiffy Pop.
No, two different kinds of oil there.
Yeah. One you definitely don't want to consume, and one that's probably not good for you either. But we were talking about bubbles last week, so maybe, you know, Jiffy Pop. That's popcorn. Pop the bubbles. And I have been on a chewing gum, a bubble gum kick lately in life. I don't know why. At work, they had some Juicy Fruit bubble gum. In the gift shop, I work at a hospital, and
never even heard of Juicy Fruit bubble gum.
Yeah, I had never heard of it either, and I thought, oh, there's some Juicy Fruit. Oh, it's bubble gum. So it's a little 5-pack that I buy, and so every day after lunch, so I buy a pack a week, $1.25 or something like that at work. Every day after lunch, I have some bubble gum, and it's sugary, and so then a little while later, I'll have some regular sugar-free gum.
Yeah, you got to have a balance, as the legalists say. I haven't been much of a gum chewer for a while, but back in the day, I had a whole shoebox full of Bazooka Joe comics.
Oh, Bazooka Joe! Oh yeah, I love those comics. That was a novelty thing.
Yeah, juicy little pink strips on my nose.
Yeah, oh, those are the days. Well, speaking of juicy fruit.
Segwaysville, yeah, man.
It just popped into my head.
You should have been a colonel. So this fruit thing that everybody wants to talk about, you know, we were talking about keeping your eyes on Jesus, one of those phrases that you hear a lot about, but you don't know what it means. The fruit thing can be just as confusing.
Big time.
So right, let's chew on this.
Yes. And you can, chew on what you like and spit out the bones, although there's no bones in gum. But whatever we share here, you're free to chew on it and spit out what you don't like. That's the thing about this. So,
yes,
you know, there's a big thing in the church where people are just really focused on what you do. The do. It's the do gospel, the gospel of do. And we've said many times, doing is good. Works are okay. There's nothing wrong with doing, but doing is not our identity. And sometimes people get so caught up in it that what they do becomes their identity. And that's walking by the flesh. And that's not walking by the Spirit. It's walking according to what you see and not so much by faith. When it becomes, you know, the musts, the shoulds, where you have to do this and you have to do that. And the church teaches that you must have evidence. You know, if you're saved, if you're truly saved, there'll be evidence, there'll be fruit. And you know what? Sometimes that's going to be true, because when you have Christ in you and you're walking by the Spirit, there's probably, in many cases, there's going to be things that people see that are different. But in many cases, there are also things that are not going to be seen. And if people don't have something to see, well, they'll wonder if you're really saved. But the whole point here is that it doesn't really matter, because we're justified, we're saved, we're made righteous by grace through faith alone, and not according to what we do. The real evidence that you're saved and justified is not outward works. It's really where you know inside that you're saved by grace through faith apart from works. nobody can really judge whether another person is saved or not by what they do. You can have people, many people in this world, who do a lot of good things, and they don't believe in Christ. They don't have the Spirit of God living in them. And so fruit is not an evidence of whether a person is justified or saved or not. But we have a lot of fruit inspectors out there who sure would make you think differently. But when it comes to rules and regulations, you know, Paul said we walk by faith, not by sight. We talked a little bit about that last week. And you know something that is not of faith, something that is not according to faith? Paul also said that the law is not of faith. So when you got to focus on rules and regulations and laws, and that's what you're living by or trying to live by, or what people, legalists, are trying to get you to live by, they're trying to teach you to walk by sight and not by faith, because the law, again, is not of faith. So we keep our eyes on Jesus, like we talked about last week, not on the things that we do.
Yeah, it's a different set of eyes when we keep them on Jesus. Seeing is believing. That's an idiom I'm sure most people are familiar with. Seeing is believing. Sometimes you'll hear, maybe not directly, but indirectly, you'll hear that from Christians, even on the grace side of the fence, that in order for people to be able to see the evidence of your faith, you know, you have to show it. It has to be some sort of outward something or other. They won't usually be all that specific. You know, they're not going to give you most people aren't going to give you a manual on here's what you do to keep your faith alive. Here's what you do to prove your faith. Here's what you do to prove your fruit. See, it's really not supposed to be based on your fruit or mine. It's all based on the fruit of the Spirit. You know, and sometimes people quote things out of context, right? Like in Matthew 6 or 7, I think it is, Matthew 7, during the so-called Sermon on the Mount, the whole message is a law-based message, mostly, until Jesus begins to kind of open up the door a little bit and crack open the gospel just a little. But it's basically a law-based message in those early chapters of Matthew 5 through 7. But Jesus said, you will know them by their fruit. And people will use a phrase like that and say, see, people will know us by our fruit. But Jesus wasn't talking about knowing believers and children of God by their fruit. He was talking about knowing the wolves in sheep's clothing.
Right.
If you look at the context, that's who he was referring to. You'll know them by their fruit, because they're out there trying to do all this stuff and demonstrate and prove and show. You know, anybody can do that. Jesus warned on more than one occasion, warned his disciples about avoiding the ministry of look at me, the look at me ministry, brought to you by strain a gnat and swallow a camel. But that's not us. That's seeing is believing. That's not the gospel. That's not the gospel. But that's what people try to get people lured into when it comes to the faith of another. It has to be seen. Otherwise, your faith might be dead. Now, you can't go through life wondering. You can't go through life, this life, in perfect peace with God, experiencing it on a supernatural level. You can't experience that like God wants you to if you're wondering constantly, looking around your shoulder, wondering if your faith is dead or alive. It's not up to you and me. You see, so it's the fruit of the Spirit. And some things I've been writing about, Joel, I said this. This is something for the future, but knowing, let me say, Jesus, allowing for the Spirit to reflect Jesus through us with his fruit, rather than our inconsistent efforts and performance. We can freely choose to begin living from that identity of who we already are, instead of working at trying to keep faith alive or seeking to become something we think we're not. The fruit of the Spirit is not a to-do list or a self-improvement program. It is God in you. You see, it's his fruit. And he desires to manifest that through us. But people, and I understand it's a fine line for those, especially who have been tied into a lot of church ideology, where it's the look at me ministry. It's the hear and do ministry. Do you know what the hear and do ministry is? It's the law of Moses. If you're taking notes, Deuteronomy 30, verse 10 through 14. Take a good look at it. 30, 10 through 14. Hear and do. That's what the law was all about, becoming a doer. You know, as one pastor used to tell us, the gospel is not so much about doing, it's about being. Doing is all fine and good until you start trying to take credit for it, until you start trying to say, well, it's my works that are making faith perfect. That gets our eyes off of Jesus and back onto us. And so with that in mind, the fruit of the Spirit, it's a great thing, but it's not your fruit. It's not my fruit. We don't produce it. We bear it because we're just branches on the vine, right? We're connected to Him. The life of God, our life in Him, He in us, He is our life, and it's His fruit that He does. He begins the good work in us. He is faithful to complete it. He is the perfecter of faith, not us and our works. As you said, Joel, that old law that came through Moses, it was not based on faith, as some translations say. And so when you see that word law, a lot of times you can just substitute the word works. When I began to understand in my early days of grace that works and faith were opposite of each other, then the pieces of the puzzle began to start making sense for me. We're not poo-pooing works. We're not down on that, obviously, but understanding where the works come from and that it is not us doing the works. It is us just simply believing in the one who does the work.
Yeah, and I think one of the big issues with today's church, you know, in the legalistic church, they might not even understand that they're being legalistic. But I'm looking at Psalm 119. This is David. It's a very, very long psalm. So I want you to find where this is. Verse 45. Well, verse 44. David says, "So I shall keep your law continually, forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts." So to David, under the law, he thought that keeping the law continually, he thought he could keep it. He thought he could, yeah, I will keep. He declared to God that I will keep your law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. Well, Paul came to understand. I'm thinking Paul probably as a Pharisee and as a man who had walked as a Jew all of his life under the law, I imagine that he probably read this from David and thought the same thing. I shall keep your law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. Well, Paul revealed to us in one of his epistles that he thought that the law would bring life. He thought that perhaps it would bring him liberty, but he found that the law brought death. He found that the law brought bondage, not liberty. Not liberty. The law of liberty is not what those Jews really thought that it was. You know, David thought that that's what it was. Paul probably thought that that's what it was, but when Christ got a hold of him and it was revealed to Paul what the purpose of the law truly was, Paul understood finally that the law was not the law of liberty that he thought it was, and that many of those early Jews, believing Jews even, still thought that it was. But it was rather something that brought bondage. And so if we think that keeping the law is going to help us, we're just wrong. And keeping those, like you say, you can substitute works. You can substitute precepts like David had here. And if you think that by trying to follow that law, you're going to find liberty, you're going to find peace, you're going to find life, you're actually going to find just the opposite. And so our faith, walking by faith, is not faith in our own efforts. I think that's what many people have made it out to be when it comes down to it. Yeah, I believe in Jesus, but I got to keep all these works. I got to show a certain amount of fruit. And what they're really doing is that they're saying, my faith is in what I do. My faith is in the way that I walk. And they've missed the point. They've missed faith in Christ. And the fact, like you were saying, that it's Jesus Christ himself, the author of faith, the perfecter of faith. Paul says many times he talks about faith in Jesus Christ. For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ, Galatians 3:26. Ephesians 3:12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him, not through faith in what we do, not by what we do. In Philippians 3:9, Paul says he wanted to have righteousness, which is, I want to be found in him, in Christ, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. That's what it's all about. It's Jesus Christ, what he has done, his finished work. It's not about our own efforts and how much fruit we think we can produce in this world. Fruit is a good thing, but it's the, like you were saying, it's the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of what we try to produce.
One thing about Psalm 119 that I'll reiterate for you is, it is a really long psalm.
Could you read the whole thing for us, please?
Yeah. I'm just kidding. The entire context is revolving around the law. So even, for example, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Right.
He's actually referring to the law.
Exactly.
The law. It was a word of law. And sometimes you have this correlation between the word and law. And as you said, precepts, commandments, statutes, rules, ordinances, even liberty, all of those things kind of coalesce with each other there as the whole context is about. So you have the word of faith that Paul talked about in Romans, and you have the word of law that was expressed in the book of Deuteronomy. But they thought it was a word that they needed to hear and do. They thought it was a law that could give them the freedom that they were seeking. It's tied into how they came out of Egypt. And so, again, context is everything, but understanding that we are not under any of that. We're under faith, not under a ministry of works. That doesn't mean that works can't become an important part of our life, but it's God working in and through us.
Yeah, well, let's talk some more about this next week. You know, you mentioned the phrase a few times here, the ministry of look at me. And that's good. I like that. You know, like people are saying, well, yeah, we're saved by grace through faith, apart from works, but, and then they'll go ahead and they'll add all kinds of works. They'll say, but what you believe has to be seen in what you do. And so they'll add doing, even though they'll say it's not doing, they'll add a whole bunch of doing. You know, that look at me type of thinking really is indeed, as we talked about, it's really based in the flesh. It's based in law, and the law is not of faith. So more on this next week.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brizeke. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.